But Savitri answered the disdainful shade, "World spirit, I was thy equal spirit born. My will too is a law, my strength a god. I am immortal in my mortality. I tremble not before the immobile gaze of the unchanging marble hierarchies that look with the stone eyes of law and fate. My soul can meet them with its living fire. Out of thy shadow, give me back again into earth's flowering spaces, Satyavan, in the sweet transiency of human limbs, to do with him my spirit's burning will. I will bear with him the ancient mother's load. I will follow with him earth's path that leads to God. Else shall the eternal spaces open to me, while round us strange horizons far recede, traveling together the immense unknown. For I who have trod with him the tracts of time can meet behind his steps whatever night or unimaginable stupendous dawn breaks on our spirits in the untrod beyond. Wherever thou leadst his soul, I shall pursue. But to her claim opposed, implacable, insisting on the immutable decree, insisting on the immitigable law and the insignificance of created things, out of the rolling wastes of night there came, born from the enigma of the unknowable depths, a voice of majesty and appalling scorn. As when the storm-haired, titan-striding sea throws on a swimmer its tremendous laugh, remembering all the joy its waves have drowned, so from the darkness of the sovereign night, against the woman's boundless heart arose the almighty cry of universal death. Hast thou God wings, or feet that tread my stars, frail creature with the courage that aspires, forgetting thy bounds of thought, thy mortal role? Their orbs were coiled before thy soul was formed. I, death, created them out of my void. All things I have built in them, and I destroy. I made the worlds my net each joy a mesh, a hunger amorous of its suffering prey, life that devours. My image see in things. Mortal, whose spirit is my wandering breath, whose transience was imagined by my smile, flee, clutching thy poor gains to thy trembling breast, pierced by my pangs, time shall not soon appease. Blind slave of my deaf force, whom I compel to sin that I may punish, to desire that I may scourge thee with despair and grief, and thou come bleeding to me at the last, thy nothingness recognized, my greatness known. Turn, nor attempt forbidden happy fields meant for the souls that can obey my law, lest in their somber shrines thy tread awake from their uneasy, iron-hearted sleep the furies who avenge fulfilled desire. Dread lest in skies where passion hoped to live, the unknown's lightning start, and terrified, lone, sobbing, hunted by the hounds of heaven, a wounded and forsaken soul, thou flee through the long torture of the centuries. Nor many lives exhaust the tireless wrath hell cannot slake, nor heaven's mercy assuage. I will take from thee the black eternal grip, clasping in thy heart thy fate's exiguous dole. Depart in peace, if peace for man is just. But Savitri answered, meeting scorn with scorn, the mortal woman to the dreadful Lord. Who is this God imagined by thy night, contemptuously creating worlds disdained, who made for vanity the brilliant stars? Not he who has reared his temple in my thoughts, and made his sacred floor my human heart. My God is will, and triumphs in his paths. My God is love, and sweetly suffers all. To him I have offered hope for sacrifice, and gave my longings as a sacrament. Who shall prohibit or hedge in his course? The wonderful, the charioteer, the swift. A traveler of the million roads of life, his steps familiar with the lights of heaven, tread without pain the sword-paved courts of hell. There he descends to edge eternal joy. Love's golden wings have power to fan thy void. The eyes of love gaze star-like through death's night. The feet of love tread naked, hardest worlds. He labors in the depths, exults on the heights. He shall remake thy universe, O death. She spoke, and for a while no voice replied. While still they traveled through the trackless night. And still that gleam was like a pallid eye, troubling the darkness with its doubtful gaze. Then once more came a deep and perilous pause in that unreal journey through blind naught. Once more a thought, a word in the void arose, and death made answer to the human soul. What is thy hope? To what dost thou aspire? This is thy body's sweetest lure of bliss, assailed by pain, a frail, precarious form, to please for a few years thy faltering sense with honey of physical longings and the heart's fire, and a vain oneness seeking to embrace the brilliant idol of a fugitive hour. And thou, what art thou, soul, thou glorious dream, of brief emotions made and glittering thoughts, a thin dance of fireflies speeding through the night, a sparkling ferment in life's sunlit mire? Wilt thou claim immortality, O heart, crying against the eternal witnesses that thou and he are endless powers and last? Death only lasts, and the inconscient void. I only am eternal and endure. I am the shapeless, formidable vast. I am the emptiness that men call space. I am a timeless nothingness carrying all. I am the illimitable, the mute alone. I, death, am he. There is no other God. All from my depths are born. They live by death. all to my depths return and are no more. I have made a world by my inconscient force. My force is nature that creates and slays the hearts that hope, the limbs that long to live. I have made man her instrument and slave. His body I made my banquet, his life my food. Man has no other help but only death. He comes to me at his end for rest and peace. I, death, am the one refuge of thy soul. The gods to whom man prays can help not man. They are my imaginations and my moods, reflected in him by illusion's power. That which thou seest as thy immortal self is a shadowy icon of my infinite. Is death in thee dreaming of eternity? I am the immobile in which all things move. I am the nude inane in which they cease. I have no body and no tongue to speak. I commune not with human eye and ear. Only thy thought gave a figure to my void. Because, O aspirant to divinity, thou callest me to wrestle with thy soul, I have assumed a face, a form, a voice. But if there were a being witnessing all, how should he help thy passionate desire? Aloof he watches, soul and absolute, indifferent to thy cry, in nameless calm. His being is pure, unwounded, motionless, one. One endless watches the inconscient scene where all things perish, as the foam, the stars. The one lives forever. There no Satyavan changing was born, and there no Savitri claims from brief life her bribe of joy. There love came never with his fretful eyes of tears, nor time is there, nor the vain vasts of space. It wears no living face. It has no name, no gaze, no heart that throbs. It asks no second to aid its being or to share its joys. It is delight immortally alone. If thou desirest immortality, be then alone sufficient to thy soul. Live in thyself, forget the man thou lovest. My last grand death shall rescue thee from life. Then shalt thou rise into thy unmoved source. But Savitri replied to the dread voice, O death, who reasonest, I reason not. Reason that scans and breaks, but cannot build, or builds in vain because she doubts her work. I am, I love, I see, I act, I will. Death answered her, one deep surrounding cry. Know also, knowing thou shalt cease to love and cease to will, delivered from thy heart, so shalt thou rest forever and be still, consenting to the impermanence of things. But Savitri replied for man to death, when I have loved forever, I shall know. Love in me knows the truth all changings mask. I know that knowledge is a vast embrace. I know that every being is myself, in every heart is hidden the myriad one. I know the calm transcendent bears the world, the veiled inhabitant, the silent Lord. I feel his secret act, his intimate fire. I hear the murmur of the cosmic voice. I know my coming was a wave from God, for all his sons were conscient in my birth. And one who loves in us came veiled by death. Then was man born among the monstrous stars, dowered with a mind and heart to conquer thee. In the eternity of his ruthless will, sure of his empire and his armored might, like one disdaining violent helpless words from victim lips, death answered not again. He stood in silence and in darkness wrapped, a figure motionless, a shadow vague, girt with the terrors of his secret sword. Half seen in clouds appeared a somber face. Night's dusk tiara was his matted hair, the ashes of the pyre his forehead's sign. Once more a wanderer in the unending night, blindly forbidden by dead, vacant eyes. She traveled through the dumb, unhoping vasts. Around her rolled the shuddering waste of gloom, its swallowing emptiness and joyless death, resentful of her thought and life and love. Through the long fading night, by her compelled, gliding half seen on their unearthly path, phantasmal in the dimness, moved the three.